I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. Last week, I shared with you the need for the cross. And today, I want to share with you the theme of the need for the resurrection. And we're going to focus our attention today on Luke, chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 18 through 24 from this passage of Luke, chapter 24. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for the knowledge that you are indeed risen from the tomb, not as a phantom, but as one who has a glorified body seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us this morning. We rejoice in that, and we know from your word that the resurrection is more than just a date on a calendar. It is an event that has an everlasting impact upon all who trust in thee. And so, Father, I pray that as we look to your word this morning, that you would challenge us on this Easter Sunday to realize the need of the resurrection. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage us. I pray, dear Lord, that our lives would be faithful before thee as we serve thee each day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of the Christian message. It's one of the two pillars of the gospel. The first pillar, of course, is the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the second pillar is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without both of them, the whole house of salvation falls. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, but I'm even more thankful that He rose in victory over sin, death, and hell, because it is through the resurrection that you and I have life in Jesus Christ. You know how unfortunate it is that the church stresses the empty tomb only on Easter Sunday, or even just through the Easter season, and then the rest of the year, there's very little talk about that. Do you realize that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday? That's why we worship on the first day of the week. We do not worship on Saturday like they did in the old economy, but rather we worship the Lord on Sunday because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, another concern that I have is the common way that Christians summarize the gospel by mentioning only Jesus' death. This is so sad because without the resurrection, Jesus' ministry ends in total disillusionment. But everything changes if you follow the words of those who said, He is not here, for He is risen from the dead, just as He said. Everything changes then. The resurrection culminates the message of the cross in all four Gospels because it is at the center of redemption itself. Without it, one can only pity Jesus as a dead martyr whose lofty ideals were sadly misunderstood. With it, one must stand in awe of the exalted Messiah, the Son of the living God, who gave His life as a ransom for us, who presently sits at God's right hand as our loving mediator, and one who will one day return from glory and fix this broken world. The Apostle Paul bluntly stated that apart from the resurrection, our faith and our message are in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. Thinking about how destitute and pointless any so-called Christian life would be without the resurrection should spur us to ponder this question. Why do we need the resurrection? That question came up this week in one of my Bible classes. One of the students stayed afterwards and asked me, Pastor Brainerd, why is the resurrection so important? And so I want to share with you five reasons why we need the resurrection. Five reasons why we need the resurrection. Number one, we need the resurrection because without it, we would never be able to interpret or understand Jesus Christ's death. It gives us a context. The resurrection amounts to the Father's clear signal that Jesus is His powerful Son who has conquered death and reigns as Lord of all. The resurrection demonstrates that Jesus' blood of the new covenant saves His people from their sins. Apart from the resurrection, there would be no reason for the Lord's Supper to be celebrated in the local church because there would be no reason to anticipate a second coming because there was no resurrection. And so we need the resurrection in order to understand why Jesus Christ came and why He died. He did not remain dead, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, He came forth from that tomb bodily. And through that resurrection, you and I have new life in Him. There's a second reason. We need the resurrection because without it, none of Jesus' promises would be trustworthy. You know, whenever my children were growing up, I would sometimes make them a promise. Like I would take them out for ice cream if we got the raking of the leaves done, or I had some other reason to take them out. And I'm going to tell you something, the kids never forgot what I said. Daddy, you said we were going to go out for ice cream, and they constantly reminded me of that. And so I'd load them up in the truck, and we would head down to the ice cream place, or we would go down here to the convenience store and get them a Frosty or something of that nature. You know, kids don't forget promises. Why is it that Christians forget the promises of Jesus Christ? You see, without the resurrection, Jesus' promises would not be trustworthy. If Jesus did not rise from the dead after promising many times that He would do so, He should be scorned and not believed and obeyed. It's very clear from that. Listen to these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. His promises are trustworthy because He rose from the tomb. The third one is that we need the resurrection because without it there would be no true foundation for the church. There would be no true foundation for the church if Jesus Christ were not risen. The astonishing yet true news brought to them by the two women who went to these disciples who first discovered the empty tomb and later by the risen Lord Jesus Himself brought the disciples back into the fold, those that had departed, had fled, and emboldened their witness was because He had risen from the tomb. That same resurrection message is still powerful to transform doubters into disciples today. You know, one of the great themes on Mars Hill that the Apostle Paul preached to the Athenians as he was there was the fact of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And from that, he encouraged the people. Let me just read from that passage. We're in Acts chapter 17. And notice, please, verse 27 for just a moment. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Now, what the Apostle Paul lays out here is that these people were worshiping this monument to an unknown God, and they had no idea who He was. And Paul says, I want to tell you about this unknown God. And he delivers to them a message about none other than Jesus Christ and tells about his resurrection. We notice in verse 24 of this passage, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You see, they went to the temples to worship, and yet they were worshiping an unknown God. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You see, folks, we need the resurrection because it is the foundation of the church. Those who have come together and trusted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the foundation of the church. That's why we're meeting today. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number four, we need the resurrection because without it, there would be no honest model of sacrificial living. What do I mean by that? Jesus embodied and demonstrated the crucified life and that a self-centered life is nothing but misery. That's what self-centered living is. That's what all this self-esteem movement that we have today that's taught in public education, it's taught in the universities, it's all about me. And yet Jesus Christ came with a very different message. He came to tell others about the crucified life, dying to self. That's what the Apostle Paul preached to the church, that we are to die to self. And so this message would not have an honest model if we did not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul developed this further, teaching us that Jesus' followers died with him to the old life and rose with him to life anew. But this model of the cross leading to a crown of righteousness is nothing but fake news if Jesus' suffering did not lead to his resurrection. Paul's basis for teaching the Philippians to live in humility and unity is simply to tell the truth of Jesus, centering on how his past humility leads to his future exaltation. And we read about that in Philippians chapter 2, the first 13 verses. So we need the resurrection, because without it, there would be no honest model of sacrificial living. And that's how we're called to live here in this world. We are to sacrifice. You know, a lot of folks have made a lot of sacrifices over this last month. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people are stuck at home all the time. Moms are caring for children during the daytime and have little time for themselves. We make a lot of sacrifices. But when it comes to the Christian life, there are many sacrifices that people are paying all around the world. I read just this past week of attacks that took place in India upon a group of Christians simply because they were followers of Jesus Christ. They're making sacrifices because they know the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we come to the fifth one. We need the resurrection because without it, there would be no future restoration of all things. Matthew 19, verses 28 through 29 give us this particular account of how that the world is going to be restored. The martyrs whose blood cries out for justice would never be vindicated except for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The untold millions of injustices perpetrated by human beings throughout history would never be made right without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There would be no ultimate reckoning for sin, and Satan would win the battle. But the resurrection guarantees that the disciples' model prayer will be answered. The will of God will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 10. By raising Jesus Christ, God showed all people that they will ultimately answer to Him for what they have done, and that we will have a future restoration. You and I will have a new body. You and I will enjoy a new heaven and a new earth without the curse because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To be sure, the early church leaders preached a gospel that centered on the cross, but the meaning of the cross is at best unclear without the resurrection. Any presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ must stress his bodily resurrection from the tomb as the essential explanation of his death and the proof of his saving power. That is why the book of Acts is included in the canon of Scripture. Over and over again in the book of Acts, you see the preaching of the resurrection by Peter and by Paul. Any gospel which does not place Jesus' resurrection alongside the death, burial of Jesus Christ is a false gospel. This morning, on the day we remember Easter, I am here to tell you with full authority that Jesus is not a dead martyr to be pitied, but a living, breathing, mediating, returning Lord to be loved and worshiped, both in present suffering, if need be, and in future reward, which is promised to us. I want to close this service by reading to you Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. I have two life verses, passages. I have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which I had since a child, and Philippians 3:10, my favorite verse in the Bible. For my determined purpose, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible, for my determined purpose is this, that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power overflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death. Oh, these verses of Scripture explain to us the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray today that your heart and mind will focus upon the person of the crucifixion, the person of the resurrection, and that person is Jesus Christ. Let us conclude our service today with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in the resurrection. We thank You, dear Father, that Your Son not only died for our sins on Calvary's tree, but that 3 days later, He rose bodily from the tomb. It signaled a victory that death was forever conquered. It signaled a victory that sin was forever taken care of, that there was no more debt. And Father, it signaled that we have a future. Because of the resurrection, we have a future that means we're going to have a new body. We have a future that means we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. And it was forever set and sealed because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear Father, on this day, I pray that we might look at it as more than just an Easter celebration. We celebrate the day, but Father, realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than a day. It is an event that has a lasting impact upon believers in Christ. And we pray to our Heavenly Father that our thoughts, our minds would be saturated with the glories of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We thank you for worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in your place. And we look forward to being together again tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. God bless you and have a good day.